It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
Kia ora, James. How are we going today?
Very good, thank you.
I'm glad to hear it. So, yeah. As a part of National's pledge to introduce youth crime prevention measures, the National Party has announced a new plan to send youth criminals to military camps. Can you tell me a bit about what your take on this is?
I think it's absurd. You know, they've actually run some experiments in the past under John Key, using, you know, boot camps for people that they considered wayward. They were demonstrated not to work and, in fact, have negative consequences. And there were also stories around kind of abuse of the kids and all sorts of things like that, right? I think it's a completely misguided policy, and they're doing it really so that they can look tough on crime, not because there's any evidence that what they're suggesting will actually work.
Sure. So English said this is only for the most of serious of offenders. What sort of alternative is there to prisons or sort of military camps for people who have shown to be struggling with rehabilitation?
Well, I think that what you want to do is go and look at evidence, and there is no evidence anywhere here or internationally that military boot camps, work for, serial youth offenders. I think a responsible government would be one that actually followed best evidence on these kinds of things, and in particular, worked through making sure that, you know, these kids were actually connected parts of their community, not ship them off to another part of the country to participate in a military boot camp. I don't think that's going to solve anything.
So what does evidence suggest should be done to people who are obviously struggling with rehabilitation? I mean, Bill English said that there's sort of a group of 20 youth offenders whose combined number of offences is at 800. So
yeah.
Wouldn't stricter measures that prevent them going to prison be a good way to help the most at-risk youth, and if not, what alternative are there?
Well, I mean, Denmark ran a study recently that actually said that the best, I mean, I know this is going to sound a bit strange, right, but actually the most effective form of therapeutic activity for prison inmates was, bizarrely, planting trees. It's, you know, getting people out, doing physical work, working with each other, working in teams, working in the natural environment, and so on. And they found that that worked with hardened criminals right through, their whole prison cohort, and actually reduced reoffending quite substantially as part of a rehabilitation program. So I think that there are things that, you know, we could look at, models that have been applied in other parts of the world that seem to work.
Is this something that you would consider if you're in government, planting trees?
Yes, but, you know, we obviously would be wanting to plant trees for the sake of reducing New Zealand's greenhouse gas emissions as well. But I think what I'm suggesting here is more that we would be interested in looking at what is the best evidence from around the world for programs that really make a difference to kids who are in this kind of behaviour pattern. What's the context that they're operating in? Because, of course, you know, the vast majority of people who are in this situation come from, you know, very difficult backgrounds and social environments. And I don't think that, you know, simply removing them from their, you know, families or whatever their environment is, and sending them off to boot camp is going to change that context when they get back home. So I think that's what you've got to look at. You've got to say, well, what is the sort of the social system that they're operating in that leads to this pattern of behaviour? What can we do with the environment with their environment? What are the things that we can shift that's going to support them in changing that behaviour? I don't think that boot camps are the solution.
Right. Well, National is also planning to introduce a fund of $30 million over 4 years for community groups and support programs to reduce offending. Is that not enough to help rehabilitate less serious offenders?
That's part of the proposal that I can agree with. $30 million when it comes to these sort of things isn't going to go very far, but it is a step in the right direction. And I think actually focusing on community-led rehabilitation is a good step. And, you know, if you look at, again, some of the evidence, not just here in New Zealand, but around the world, that seems to be the area that makes the biggest difference.
Right. Well, moving on to the rebranding of the Green Party after the loss of Matidia Tude, Kennedy Graham and David Clinton, you've changed the slogan from Great Together to Love New Zealand. Do you think this change of image will help you reach out to the voters you've lost in recent polls?
It's one of the things that we have to do, right? So the most important thing is to let everybody know, including those people who stood by us and those people who feel that we've let them down, that the Green Party is still the same Green Party that we have always been, that we have the same values and the same vision, and that the three things that will be at the top of the government's agenda if we get into government at this election will be turning New Zealand into a world leader in the fight against climate change, cleaning up all of our rivers, and ending poverty in New Zealand. Those three priorities. And those have always been our priorities. And I guess that the argument that I'm making is that no other political party has said that those things will be at the top of the political agenda. So we asked for the same Green Party. That's why we changed the slogan essentially back to the one that we were using in 2014. Because the things that New Zealanders love about their country are the things that we stand for and we want to preserve and protect.
Mm. And do you think it's going to be more difficult, perhaps, moving forward to protect and sort of ensure that those things happen without Matidia by your side and without the other two party members who have now left?
Oh, I mean, I don't think there's any arguing that we're in a tight spot at the moment, but we've been through tough times before. We've also had worse polling closer to election days in previous elections than we do now, and then gone on to our best ever results. So I've got every confidence that we'll be able to turn the tide and make sure that we get at least what we got in the last election at this coming election, if not some of those higher numbers that we were looking at a few weeks ago. Because we know that the vast majority of New Zealanders, you know, the stuff that we've been talking about for a long time is really becoming mainstream now. And people really do want to see, you know, that this country can be a world leader in the fight against climate change, and that's an economic opportunity. In fact, it may be the greatest economic opportunity for our generation. And that the other things to do with our natural environment and our rivers are so important to us that we, you know, simply will not tolerate the idea that our country makes its money from industries that pollute the rivers and the soil and the air and so on. And so, you know, I think that pitch is as good as it ever was.
Right. But what seemed to really boost your numbers was sort of Matidia's admission of benefit fraud and really trying to change the social policy and the social side of things. Do you think having her gone to not sort of fight for that sort of institutionalized and sort of systemically abused people in the system and on the benefit, do you think without Matidia there to fight for those sort of issues, that maybe polling will be a bit more difficult in the future, or do you think that's going to have a detrimental effect?
No, well, there's a couple of answers to that. One of which is that Matidia is going to continue on with that campaign for the remaining 6 weeks of this election campaign. Hmm. And we know that a lot of those people who started to come out of the woodwork and said to us, you know, thank you, finally I feel like the House of Representatives has someone there who represents me, that it is really important that the response they were having towards Matidia personally, that, you know, that we say, hey, yes, you know, she may have lost her job as a result of this, but she is still there, still fighting for you. The other thing, of course, is that the Green Party is larger than any one person and always has been. And we've had some amazing leaders who have come and gone in our time, and the party has continued from strength to strength despite that. And one of the announcements that I made during our relaunch yesterday was that Marnima Davidson is going to take over as the lead face of the campaign to end poverty in New Zealand in this election campaign. And of course, Marnima also comes from the kind of background where she knows a lot of these people, you know, she can relate to them and they can relate to her. And she and Matidia will be working closely together over the course of the next few weeks. So, you know, the party is bigger than Matidia, and at the same time, she did speak for a lot of people. So she will continue with the campaign, and I think that we're going to be able to make sure that those people know that we still stand for them and we still speak for them, and that the policy package that we were putting together to end poverty is still one of our top three priorities.
Right. So you will continue to fight for what Material is fighting for?
Absolutely. I mean, I said yesterday in our relaunch, I will speak about poverty in this campaign. I will speak about climate change and I will speak about rivers. But when it comes to poverty, I know that that conversation makes some people uncomfortable, but I'm comfortable with making them uncomfortable because I think it's better to make some people angry talking about a problem that exists rather than to try and keep everyone happy by not talking about it and pretending that it doesn't exist.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today, James. I hope you have a great afternoon and I hope
thank
to talk
you.
To you soon.
I'm sure we will. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.